You're listening to Irish Radio Canada's Home and Abroad, and the Irish Film Festival opens here in Ottawa. It's coming up on Friday the 24th, and the opening movie is a movie called Christy, and it is directed by Brendan Canty. And Brendan is here with me, and I'm delighted that we're going to hear a little about this. And I know that the movie itself has had a lot of accolades, has been well received, and it is Brendan's debut film, and he previous to this he would have done a lot of work on music videos, including Hozier's Take Me to Church. And Brendan, I'm not going to steal any thunder here and say anything about the movie, and we're also delighted to be joined here by Patrick Murray. Patrick is the executive director of the Irish Film Festival. Brendan, Christy. You're basing this in North Cork, and I have to tell you, to start off with, the previous movie, or the one that has said that certainly helped put some of Cork on the map, was the two boys from Dublin with the great Cork
young
accent.
Offenders.
The Young Offenders. Christy would be from the social standing would be from a similar background.
Those two lads would take offence to you saying that now, because they're from Glanmire in Cork. I was with one of them last night, Chris. He's lovely. But yes, it's from North Cork, where Young Offenders is also set. And do you know what? It's very different from Young Offenders, but I think Young Offenders taught us that there was an international audience for Cork humour, and it did give us a lot of confidence to tell this Cork story, and paved the way a little bit for what we wanted to do, I think.
When you talk about Cork humour is well established. Like, I remember Cha and Maya. It's before your time, probably, but they're legends. And Neil Tobin also had a set of reputation for Cork humour, but Cork humour is recognised as a tremendous... There's great wit, and it is, there's local wit that an awful lot outside of Cork would never get. So in something like that with Cork humour, does that present a challenge?
Oh, it doesn't present a challenge. If anything, it's kind of something we really just wanted to lean into, and it gave us something, a flavour that was quite unique and maybe exotic in a way. So it gave us... People wanted it from us, you know, and as I said, it gave us something unique. And me and Alan O'Gorman, the writer, we grew up together, but we were kind of living on opposite sides of the world. When we wrote this film, I was living in New Zealand with my wife for a year and a half, and he was in a few places, but he's kind of in California mainly. And so we would always just connect over, you know, talking about Cork stories or people we grew up with, and it was just always something we wanted to do, so less of a challenge and more of a strength it was for us.
Right. The basis of the story is that Christy has been in foster homes and is getting to a point where he is now reunited with a member of his own family and coming to live under a sibling's roof. And he's finding that there are two different perspectives. The sibling has one perspective and Christy has another perspective of how things should pan out.
Yeah, he does. The film starts out with Christy in a foster home, and he gets kicked out and he has to go back and live with his brother temporarily until he finds his place in the world. And when he's back with his brother, them being together forces them to kind of revisit the past, and the brother is maybe about 10 years older than Christy, so he remembers everything that happened to his mother, whereas Christy was too young to remember. So one's trying to forget and the other's trying to remember. And they have the same trauma, but have dealt with it in very different ways. And them being together is forcing them both to deal with their past or something like that. So it has a lot to do with how men communicate, or more importantly, don't communicate. And but also how community can help these lads to grow and communicate, it's a real community film. I think that's what surprises people the most, and how community can help someone to heal and grow, and Yeah, that's kind of the special thing about it, I think.
I had the opportunity to spend 9 months of COVID a little bit east of you, up in the Cumra Mountains under my brother-in-law's roof, because he had lost his
Lucky
wife.
you.
He lost his wife just before as COVID was getting into it. So I have a certain appreciation of the challenges that can exist between for living under somebody else's roof. And the tensions that can arise out of that and the different expectations that can arise out of that. And from what I understand, like you're effectively capturing some of this, that the expectations of Christy would be very different than the expectations of his brother, and how these things can cause friction, but also then bring people together.
Yep, absolutely.
And also, sorry to interrupt you, also I just want to bring in that special element of finding and incorporating the cabin crew into your film really brings a special sauce that elevates the film, I think.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it does. And but just come back to Austin's point there, it's I mean, yeah, you're so right. And but especially in Shane's case, where, like, I think that would happen in anyone's case, but for Shane, who's a foster kid and or who was a foster kid himself and is used to having things being taken away from him, or families or moving home constantly, and he's kind of running scared. He probably will be all his life, because that's what he's conditioned to do, that maybe his family will leave him. And so he just sees Christy being in this house as a threat to the stability that he finally has. It was really cool exploring all of that. And it was especially cool exploring it with, as you just mentioned, with the cabin crew and all of these amazingly talented young people that we discovered up the north side, and not just talented actors, but amazing people with a lot of stories themselves, and a lot of them have been through a lot of stuff. A number of them are foster kids who were really important to the story, to make it authentic, and to help us make sure that we were getting it right and stuff like that. So it's such a rich community we managed to tap into, and they kind of unlocked the whole film.
So Brendan, it certainly must be a challenge then to take experiences like that, which you have not lived, and that are so fraught with so many layers of emotion and living experiences, and to be able to stand back and absorb it and then put it back out in a sensitive way.
Yeah, that's really nicely put. And I think a lot of that comes from experience. I don't think about it too much, but the main thing is just kind of what you said there, just stepping back and listening and really trying not to ever project my views or something that, like, yeah, that's what it might have been authentically like, but I think this will be better for the movie if he said that. You know what I mean? It's just like, no, I was just like, you got to listen to what the people who've been through it are telling you. And that takes time and trust and then just sensitively weaving that into the script. And, Alan was the writer, was amazing at that as well. And his mum was a social worker, and he'd worked with kids in a school in Manchester, very like Christy. So I think between the two of us, it was very important. And if any foster kid or any kid similar to Christy watched this film, or social workers, or anyone who's had foster kids or whatever, watched this, it had to be right. They had to believe it. Like, you know, they couldn't, you know, or else it would be a failure. Like, and that just came from being really respectful and just listening all the time and asking questions and never projecting at all.
I go back to the intro where you said your previous work was primarily in music videos. Mm-hmm. And this topic and how you're approaching it is very much what you would expect from somebody who has a lot of experience in documentaries or in real life dramas or in a variety of other things like that. So to take on what is such a sensitive topic and such as a debut film, you didn't feel intimidated or that it was taking a risk in that context?
No, actually. We say music videos, but like the Take Me to Church video, for example, I made a few music videos like that, which were short films, essentially, in just 3 or 4 minutes, you know. And so that's kind of where I learned how to tell stories and deal with sensitive topics in those music videos. And the music came with a freedom as well, because some of those songs were very powerful or very emotive and sensitive. So they helped me to understand the relationship between music and story and emotion and stuff like that. And so I was always learning how to tell these kind of human stories through music videos. Then I made a few short films and stuff. So all of that experience kind of helped. And I felt very ready to tell this story. And we were writing it for 3 years, but we had some very experienced and incredibly talented people helping us to write it, our producers, but also some our executives in like BBC Film, who are just BBC Film is just filled with a lot of very smart, very, very smart women who are just amazing at giving notes, like amazing, and pushing us in the right directions and stuff like that. And no one would allow us to make this movie until it was right. You know, we had 48 official drafts, but it must have been hundreds of unofficial drafts. You know, the drafts that you just me and Alan do between us, but never send out, you know. So time is like, if anyone writes a film and they think this is good to go after the first draft, forget about it. Like, you know, it's like, takes time.
That would probably explain then why the between your experience with the short films, the music videos, telling and also all these drafts, that I found your dialogue really tight, like very snappy, which of course plays really well into the humor, which there's so much of in it. But there's not a lot of fat. There's not a lot of just sitting around staring into navels and gazing and woe is me nonsense. It's really just like, you know, moving forward, and it's snappy, and I love that about the film. And some of your actors really relished in it. You know, I was mentioning earlier, Jamie seemed to really love those. He was quick with the responses, but also even your lead, Danny, and Dermot, and of course your villain and all that stuff. They were all nothing was wasted, I found, which is made it even more of an enjoyable crowd pleaser over the 90 minutes. Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much.
So, Brendan, was casting a challenge?
Not really, because we just had so much, because we made a short film, so a lot of the core cast we had already found for the short film, so they were always going to go in it. And then that was 2019, then we got the money to write this film. So within those 3 years, we were kind of just imagining characters for actors we had seen and things and loved. So it was really kind of almost like a headhunted sort of process. Like, we saw Helen Bean, for example, who plays, she plays Pauline, the Leona's mum, the hairdresser. Like, we'd seen her in Shane Meadows' This Is England, and she was in his show The Virtues. We're big Shane Meadows fans. And people like that, we were like, we want to write a character for this person. And then we had a bunch of, you know, we found these first-time actors. A lot of them are rappers, so that seemed to be a thing. So we knew there was this rapping scene in Limerick, and we were like, let's take some of their rappers. They're going to be good. So it wasn't difficult. We kind of were just writing roles for people that me and Alan were excited about along the way. It was a very interesting casting process. Very different, I'd say.
Patrick mentioned there about how the team were working together. When you bring a team of actors like that together and you're looking for chemistry to happen, if they hadn't worked previously, was there a time where it needed them to gel?
Yes, we were blessed with, we got some money from BBC to do these like actor workshops where we spent a week when we were writing it, bringing the actors together and just playing with the scenes, exploring their backstories, exploring the relationship between the two brothers and all that sort of stuff. So just to bring the gang the gang from the short film back together, but also mixing them in with some of our new actors and trying out new actors as well. It was kind of very a loose audition process as well. It was kind of an unofficial audition process. And but the good thing is, for most of them, for a lot of the kids from the cabin, they all knew each other. They all go there every week, rapping together. They're one big family. So, like, it was kind of really trying to bring everyone else into that family and, like, creating an extended gang. But it was hugely important that, like, and then when all the crew and everyone who comes onto the film, it was so important that they tap into this energy from this place, cabin that I'm talking about. It's a really mm-hmm. really special place.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're delighted that this is the opening movie. It's, as we said, on Friday evening, and that is on the 24th at 7 p.m., is it, Patrick? What time
That's
are we?
Right.
7 p.m.?
Opening night, 7 p.m., the castle, Canadian Museum of Nature.
It looks amazing.
Yeah. We're really happy to be there our first year and for our 11th season. And we're excited for that. And definitely I encourage folks, too, to go on to YouTube and look up Cabin Crew, Cabin with a K, and go down that rabbit hole. There's a great video. One of them was besides Spark, the song about the North Side, which has lots of behind-the-scenes footage of them bonding and gelling. Which looks like it anyways from that video.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they're an incredible community.
Yeah.
And aside from this film festival, I'll be in Toronto next month as well, because we made a documentary called Galcha about the cabin crew, and that's having its international premiere at Hot Docs in Toronto. So
hey, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks very much. So hopefully that'll make its way to your film festival next year as well. So it's actually going to be my first proper time in Canada for that as well, so I'm excited.
Well, hopefully you can, maybe if you can get here and make a little time to get to travel and see a bit of the city, because May is a beautiful time. It's a beautiful time in Ottawa. And if you can set some time aside for a few extra days, there are welcome mats out and doors open.
Oh, happily show you around. Happily show you around. Yeah.
Indeed. So the website, irishfilmfestivalottawa.ca, for Christy. And for Hot Docs, if you do a search for Hot Docs, and that is a fantastic festival that's on in Toronto. And at that, you might get the opportunity to meet Brendan if you go to that. And we are looking, as we said, on April 24th, 7 p.m. for Christy here in Ottawa. Brendan, Gramina Margaret, thanks so much for taking the time. Patrick, thanks so much also for joining
Thank you.
Us.
Gramila.
Congratulations.
tomorrow, at an unspecified time, a white box van will pull in the Wellington Street beside the bullion bay. This is the contractor you have ordered to clear away the office rubbish before Christmas. You will evade security, fill three cages with cash, and bring them to us. This will be a very swift operation. And here's the clever bit. Not one of my men will set foot inside the bank at any time. Get a good night's sleep, lads. You're gonna need it.